Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcasts Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 19 years now. We have been bringing these messages to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day He has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be talking about open doors from the Lord, how the Lord opens doors for us, and how the Lord shuts doors. And then we're going to go on to other messages here in Acts chapter 16. And this is one of the great chapters in the book of Acts. And we've been looking at the New Testament church last month, all the different things that happened in the book of Acts to show us what the New Testament church should look like, the template, the blueprint for the New Testament church. So today, if you would turn in Acts chapter 16, start in verse 6, right after our prayer time. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. And we're starting to have a change of seasons now. It's starting to turn dry. And we've got maize crops to harvest. We've got vegetable crops to harvest. The children are all home from school now. They'll be home till after 1st of January. And so we have projects going on with the children. We're teaching them, some of the boys are teaching them fundi projects or construction projects, how to be bricklayers, how to be carpenters. And we have also a crusade coming up next week in a village about 20 miles from here. This is with one of our partner churches at a little place called Otialo Village. And so we're going to be out there for 3 days and doing a crusade. Got some great singers, great choirs coming in. And then I'll be preaching the messages. Then on Sunday at the end of the crusade, we're going to have a combined church service at our partner James Church, and so keep that in your prayers, the 12th to the 14th of December, and then the combined church service on the 15th, and so we're looking forward to that. Okay, today we're going to be talking about open doors, how the Lord opens doors for ministry, and so this is going to be a very important subject. If you're a born-again believer, and you're thinking about ministry, you're thinking about what can I do for the kingdom? What can I do for the Lord? And whether I should go ahead this way, whether I should go ahead that way. And the Lord will give you confirmation. He will open doors for you and show you where He wants you to go. And so this is going to be an encouragement for you to go ahead and pray. Ask the Lord to give you confirmation. Ask the Lord to give you an open door. And so in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, this is the travels of the Apostle Paul. And this is after Paul was converted and he has become zealous for the Lord. Now he's starting to travel. He's being sent out as an apostle. And so in verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had gone to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them." And so there's two different places here where the Holy Spirit, or in one instance in verse 7, maybe it could have been the Spirit of Jesus. It doesn't say Holy Spirit, but at any rate, either the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go into these places to minister. And so you never know what the Holy Spirit is thinking. The Holy Spirit has the mind of God, and you may just want to rush ahead, and you may want to jump into something without really praying about it, because it, in your natural mind, to your natural eyes, it may look like a good thing. I can remember way back in about 2005, I went into church, and there was a couple sitting there who had been to Costa Rica several times. Actually, she was from Costa Rica. And so they went down there to minister several times over the years. And they asked me if I wanted to go to Costa Rica with them on a mission trip. And they said, we're going to be going in 3 days. This was on Sunday and Wednesday. They were flying out of Denver. And they asked me if I wanted to go, and I wanted to go. But it seemed like it was very hasty. Seems like there was not much time to prepare. Didn't even have a plane ticket. Had no money raised. All of these things became question marks in my mind. So I went home that night and I said, Lord, I want to go. If you want me to go, you show me without any uncertainty. You show me and declare to me that you want me to go to Costa Rica, and I will go. I'll be willing to go. And so I prayed that before I went to bed. And that night, the Lord gave me a dream and he showed me I was in Costa Rica and I was going down this river, which turned out to be the Chirripó River. I didn't know anything about that river at the time, but it turned out to be the very river that we had to cross to go into the village where we were going to minister. He showed me in a dugout canoe in that river, and I was paddling down the river, and I had a big feather over my head that I was paddling down that river. And so the Lord was showing me that he was taking me into the river of life, and he was going to allow me to minister to these Quebecer people, these indigenous tribe that lived way off in the jungle, way down in southern Costa Rica. And he was going to be my covering, the feather that I was paddling down that river, using to propel myself down that river. That feather was the covering that the Lord was going to cover me with as I went on this mission trip. And so I woke up the next morning. I wrote all the details of that dream down. And I even asked the Lord, Lord, confirm even in a greater detail that you want me to go by allowing me to purchase a ticket at a cheaper price than the couple that had invited me to Costa Rica. And sure enough, the Lord opened up a door for me to get a plane ticket. And it was actually cheaper than the one that they had purchased. And they bought their ticket about 2 months before. And so the Lord will give you confirmation. If you ask him, he will show you where he wants you to go. He will show you how he wants you to get there. And lo and behold, when I got to Costa Rica, we went to a place called Turrialba on the way down to where we were going to be ministering. And Turrialba, we got a room and stayed there overnight. And we walked into this restaurant there in Turrialba. And there was that very dugout canoe that I had been shown in my dream. It was in the vestibule or the foyer of this big restaurant. And there it was, a picture that the Lord had already shown me in the dream. And then when we got down to the Quebecer reservation, we had to walk 6 miles into the reservation. And we got down there and we crossed this river. We came around the bend of the mountain and there was the Chirripó River. It was a river about 100 feet across, 2 to 3 feet deep, sometimes rushing very rapidly. It was a bit dangerous to cross. And so that very river that the Lord had showed me in a dream, that was the river, the Chirripó River, that we crossed. And then we went across to the other side of the river and walked another mile, mile and a half up into this canyon in the mountain. And there was the Quebecer people waiting for us to come to minister to them. And so God showed me in perfect detail in that dream, this is what he wanted me to do. He opened doors for me that no man can shut. Well, that phrase, the open door, comes from Isaiah 22:22, and it talks about the key of David. And it says, the key of the house of David, I will lay on his shoulder, lay on David's shoulder, but also lay on the shoulder of Christ, who was the son of David. The key of the house of David, I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no man shall shut, and he shall shut and no man shall open. And so that's the key of the house of David. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of David, has that key and he gives it to us, and we can use that key to open doors that no man can shut. And when God opens a door, beloved, It may be for just a season. It may be for a time, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. It may only be for a few days. You don't know. God will show you details about the urgency or the time span that the door will be open, but he can also show you that this door is a temporary door and it will not stay open for years. It will not stay open for decades. And so that is God's key that he gives to us through Jesus Christ, through the Son of David, that he can open for us doors that no man can shut. Paul and his ministry associates, well, in verse 8, it says, so they passed by Mysia, then they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with Paul, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So that's the open door right there in a vision. Paul was given a picture of a man, and the man is pleading to Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. And now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And so God has invited them there. He's opened the door for them there. They are obedient. And beloved, God loves obedience. He loves obedience better than sacrifice. And so when you are obedient to the Lord, God is going to continue to keep opening doors for you. When you are obedient to the Lord, you have an anointing that continues to grow. It continues to get stronger. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And when God opens the door for you, get used to saying yes to the Holy Spirit. When you continually deny the prompting and the open doors of the Holy Spirit, when you continue to deny that and you stuff it, you're going to stuff it with entertainment. You're going to stuff it with leisure. You're going to stuff it with procrastination. Are you going to stuff it with food or drugs or some other way? You're going to quench that Holy Spirit and you're going to quench those open doors. Beloved, don't do that. I encourage you to say yes to the Holy Spirit and move with the Lord, move with the Holy Spirit, and you will be shocked at where the Lord will take you. You'll be shocked at where the Lord will show you he wants you to go. And I would just say, turn loose of what you have, beloved, because when the door opens for you, God is going to take you to a higher place than what you have now. God is going to take you to a place and it will be exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever think or imagine what you could do for yourself. And so that is a wonderful teaching for today about the open doors that God has for you. So the Apostle Paul and his friends, they stay in the city of Philippi. They stay there and minister. And that's what the rest of Acts chapter 16 is about. So we'll take up here in verse 16, some more of the adventures that they encounter in this city of Philippi. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he, that is the Spirit, came out of her that very hour. Well, here's what's taking place. There's a lady who has a spirit of divination, and a spirit of divination is a demonic spirit that a person relies on to get messages from the devil or get messages from the demonic kingdom. The spirit of divination operates through I Ching, it operates through pendulums, operates through witchcraft, operates through horoscopes. That's a spirit of divination, which is trying to find out information or revelation some other way other than through the Holy Spirit. And so as a born-again believer, don't rely on any of those mediums, the I Ching or the Ouija board or the horoscopes or any of those things. They're all demonic divination attempts to find revelation some other way than through the Holy Spirit. And it will link you with the demonic kingdom. It will link you with demons. And so just shun those things. If you have a Ouija board in your house, get rid of it. If you have astrology charts that you've had written up for yourself, get rid of those things, burn them. If you have a pendulum or some other way to divine things for yourself, get rid of those things. Just throw them all away. They're part of the witchcraft devil kingdom. And this girl, she was following Paul and his associates, and she said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Well, it sounded like she was saying good things. It sounded like she was praising these men and that she was a born-again believer. To listen to her talk, you'd think, well, there's a born-again believer. There's a lady that we can work with. And so you have to be very careful and not just listen to people's words. There's two ways that you can discern spirits in people that you're talking with. And I have to encounter this every day over here in Kenya, because there's lots of people from another faith over here, and they will say, praise God. They will say, hallelujah. They will say, Buona Sifiwe, praise the Lord. They will say, this is the day the Lord has made. All of these things that Christians say, they will say them, but their spirit is not of the born-again believer spirit. They're not of the kingdom of God. They're of a demonic religion, a demonic inspired religion, but they have the same phraseology, you might say, or the same sayings and words of encouragement that come from a born-again believer. And so you have to watch their actions, not just what they say, but also what they do. Watch their actions. Do their actions line up? Because if you ask these people, where do you pray? That's one way I can find out whether they're a born-again believer. I'll say, where do you pray? And if they don't have a church to pray in, and they don't know a church, and if they say, well, we pray in a mosque or we pray in this temple or someplace like that, you know they're not a born-again believer. And so Paul had discerned from this girl, he had a spirit of discernment or a gift of discernment. He had discerned that she was working for the devil. And so he said to this girl, after she had followed them around for a few days, he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at that very hour. Well, Paul had a very strong anointing on him. He was a man who had seen Jesus Christ. He had the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he had the zeal of the Lord of hosts operating with him. And so he spoke to this demon, and the demon came out of this girl that very hour. Well, there was a problem, and there's always a problem when you cast out demons. There's always a problem when you encounter the kingdom of the devil, is because when the devil is operating, he always has money operating around him. There are always people with strings attached. They're associated with demonic activity, and it's always about profit. Think of the drug dealers. Think of the cartels. Think of all of the people profiting off of the people that have been ushered into the U.S. by the coyotes in the cartels. Every single person that came into the U.S. illegally was ushered in by a coyote, $10,000 a head. Think of all the money associated with that. When you try to break the stronghold off of all these demonic activities going on in America, the drug dealing, the prostitution, the racketeering, the child sex trafficking, all of these things have demonic strongholds attached to them. And when you try to break into these strongholds and cast them down in the name of Jesus and break them off, you're going to encounter the strings attached. You're going to encounter the demonic strongholds that keep these people operating and keep them in the flow of the money that comes in association with all these activities. And so this is what happens here with Paul. It says, when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And then they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. So the hope of profit was gone. That stirred up the anger. That stirred up the spirit of hatred. And so they said, we're going to throw these guys, Paul and his associates, we're going to throw them into jail, and we're going to stop this interfering with our money-making racket here. And beloved, when you try to come out of a cartel and you try to come out of a drug dealing gang or something like that, you're going to pay with your life, and you had better be ready for a battle, or you had better be ready to pick up stakes and move out of there, because you will pay a price when you come out of these agreements that you have made with the devil. I can get a witness from some of the people listening to me today how they paid a price when they come out of agreements they have made with the devil. Jump on over to verse 25 here. And Paul and Silas are in jail now. And it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them there. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chain was loosed. Well, beloved, the teaching for us here, when you're in your darkest hour, you need to pray. When you're in your darkest hour, you need to sing praise songs. You need to sing hymns. You need to worship God. When you're in your darkest hour, don't look at your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances drag you down. Don't stay focused on all the bad things that could happen or are happening or have happened. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep singing hymns. Keep praying. And at midnight, the earthquake came, and the doors of this prison shook, and the doors were opened. That's another open door from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the key of David, another open door. And so this happened suddenly, and Paul and Silas then were able to come out of this chain, released, come out of this prison. And so the keeper of the prison, or the warder, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Well, at this point in time, Paul and Silas had not run out of the prison. But Paul called out, verse 28, Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light, and he ran in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. This is the warder now. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, if you think back to Acts chapter 2, the very same question was asked when Peter got up and preached his powerful gospel message to the Jews that were there. They said the very same thing in Acts 2:37. It says they were pierced to the heart when the message of the gospel hit them. They were pierced to the heart. They were pricked to the heart, and they cried out and they said, what must we do to be saved? And so here in verse 30, very same thing. The jailer is shook. He's heard the gospel message, and he knows that something very unusual has happened. He heard these guys praying. He heard these guys singing. He knew something very unusual was going on with these two men. He knew something unusual was going on in that prison. The earthquake shook the prison. The doors came open. And he says, sir, what must we do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes. And immediately and he and all of his family were baptized. And so when they had brought Paul and Silas into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Well, beloved, that is the gospel message right there. When you know that you have sinned, when you know you're not being obedient, you're not living a life according to the way the Lord wants you to live it, and when you've sinned and you become aware of your sin, just as this warder, he was doing the work of the devil, keeping these guys in jail. He was doing the work of the devil, working on behalf of the people who were using this young girl to speak divination and bring illegitimate money into their coffers. And so he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved and all of your household." Well, the household isn't automatically saved when you come to know the Lord Jesus. They also have to believe. They also have to confess. Your children have to confess. Your wife has to confess. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. Salvation is an individual thing. But what he meant by that was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your household, if each one of the members of your household believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved as well. And then they were water baptized. That is also an instruction and a teaching for us. When you make your confession of faith, go and find some water, confirm it with water baptism, and you will be saved. You will be blessed, and the kingdom of God will be blessed as well. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We'd love to hear from you. Help us keep these radio broadcasts coming. Help us to continue to minister in Africa. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. If you have prayer requests, include them. We'd be happy to pray with you and communicate with you. And we thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.